afternoon and welcome to Family First with five-time author and top speaker Randy Rolfe. Your family may be facing a variety of issues that you'd like addressed. No two families in the world face identical problems, but Randy has seen almost all of the difficulties families today face, and she and her expert guests have the answers that you seek. Now, here is your host, Randy Rolfe.
Hello, this is Randy Rolfe, and I'm your host for Family First with Voice America, and I'm very excited about our guest today. So often we hear about the challenges modern families face with both parents working outside the home and still trying to maintain a close-knit and happy family life. And finding a balance between your roles as parent and active participant in the working place is one of the greatest sources of everyday stress for families today. My guest this week is not only an expert on the subject and has written a wonderful book about it, but is a personal example of how to manage this balancing act. A health educator for over 30 years, Sharon Weinstein is an energetic, motivating, and highly skilled nurse, nurse educator, and consultant specializing in workplace wellness, corporate training programs, and motivational speaking presentations. Among many other roles, she's also been an advisor to the Central Clinical Hospital in Moscow, Russia for 12 years while raising her family here in the U.S., and oversaw the building of a Western-style international patient department. Among her many writings, her newest book, The B is for Balance, is exactly about this issue. So I'm so excited to welcome Sharon, and it would take another 20 minutes to tell you all the things she's done, but she's written many clinical papers and textbooks on specific aspects of nursing, and she's a nurse's nurse. So I welcome you today, Sharon. Thank you so much for being my guest.
Well, thanks so much for inviting me. I'm looking forward to it. It's a pleasure.
Great. Good, good. Well, I wanted to start out by asking you how you got interested in nursing. That was your first love before you started your family, right?
It was. And basically, you know, we think about this and we think once a nurse, always a nurse. There is no such thing as I was a nurse. I am a nurse. And I have been for many, many, many years.
Awesome. Yes. I know in your book you talk about some nurses that move out of it, but it's just because they want a more fulfilling way to help people. It's certainly an amazing calling and can eat up all your time, as you well know. At what stage were you in your family life when you finished the nursing training, if you ever did?
Oh, I finished. I started out in a three-year program fresh out of high school on a scholarship from the Philadelphia Public Schools. And so I was a nurse by the time I was 21. And it wasn't long after that that I got married, had three kids, and then went back to school to complete a baccalaureate degree and basically have been a student of learning ever since. I think that one of the most exciting things about a career in nursing is one's ability to move within the field and to move from, say, tertiary care to home care to alternative care to almost any aspect, including education, that enables you to use the same skill sets that you originally developed and use those skills to expand your career.
It's famous that there's a real paucity of nursing students and nurses in the field as there's a greater and greater need for healthcare. Do you think part of the problem is that it can take so much out of a person to be a nurse today?
I think you're right, Randy. In many ways, it's much more difficult to be a nurse today. Things were certainly much simpler when we dealt with less technology and more emphasis in terms of preparing the patient for discharge when he or she was admitted to the hospital so that you actually had time to create a relationship with the patient. But in the days of one of two categories, one is drive-through healthcare, where people don't even get admitted. They come through in advance for their testing, have a procedure, and then are discharged. Or those who are there are so acutely ill that the ability to care for them appropriately is very trying at best.
Yeah, I can only imagine. And it's been speeded up, the whole process. So it's hard for people to get the full benefit of what nurses have to offer. What brought you to write a book about life balance with your colleagues, other wonderful nurses involved in your writing?
Well, thank you for that. I was actually involved in writing many, many books that dealt with my clinical practice, especially, which was infusion therapy. So I had done seven books on that particular subject. And when I I switched paradigms really from sick care, which is what our healthcare system truly is, to wellness with a focus on being more proactive rather than reactive about 8 years ago. And my goal was, if I was going to share this with my colleagues at the time, I needed to be involved in creating the evidence base for nurses' wellness practice. And I set out on a mission to make that happen, because if nurses read about it and it's published in the literature and it's evidence-based, they'll believe it.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. So one of the things you were trying to do was to create a situation where the nurses could actually see what you were aiming at as far as balance and proactive and true health care.
Exactly. And you know, Randy, nurses historically do not take very good care of themselves. When you think about the fact that 90% of the nursing population is represented by women, and women are historically rescuers, they're so accustomed to doing things for other people that they don't take the time to do things for themselves. And in my opinion, you cannot take good care of others until you take good care of yourself.
Yes, your book has so many wonderful and very specific practical ways that people can take care of themselves in as short a period of time as they need to balance their family and their career life. And I think nursing is such a perfect example, because if anyone's going to be burnt out or overworked or stressed taking on other people's problems, I'm sure it's going to be a nurse. So it's a powerful book, because you say, well, if a nurse can find balance, anybody can.
Exactly.
So how important is it being conscious of your priorities and making a plan to balance your life?
I think it's critical. I think that in order to begin to manage time in a way that makes you feel as if you have some semblance of control, you can reset or should reset your priorities. So you should be aware of how you're spending your time, change your relationship with time to assess how you spend it, write down all of the things that you do perhaps in a 24-hour period, and how you spend your time is a statement of what your priorities are. Then assess how satisfied you are with the way that you're spending your time. Think about the most important things in your life in terms of career and relationships and personal development, perhaps finances, health, fun, service to mankind, and rate them. And now that you know how well you're living each of these areas, you look back and you think about how satisfied you really are. And you can take it to another level to set new priorities, to start doing more of the things that are much more important to you in life. So you reorder those priorities and figure out what's missing from your life. And as you review each question, you write down the activities that come to mind, like, what's the most important thing in my life right now? Where would I like to spend more time? What areas need attention? What do you think is key to staying on the same page with your spouse about, perhaps, or your partner about balancing work and family and time? And all of these things lead one to really think twice in terms of what it is they're doing and what they could be doing better.
I really appreciate that you ask the person to look at what are they really satisfied by and what makes them happy, that everybody's entitled to have that kind of feeling of fulfillment and satisfaction and happiness, and judging your priorities not just by what's urgent or what other people want you to think is high priority, but what really gives you the satisfaction of life.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
And you have some wonderful exercises. So if we're talking fast here, people can get your book and go through the exercises. And I think it's so important to do exercises with yourself, to write these things down and take a look at them for yourself. So makes a lot of sense. What do you think is the key to staying on the same page with your spouse about balancing work and family?
I think that it's communication. Communicate freely about what you want in life, the goals for you and your family and your life's work. I happen to be really, really lucky, Randy. Not so lucky in childhood, because I was from an extremely dysfunctional family. Everybody says their family is dysfunctional. My family gave new meaning to that word. And I left home right after I graduated from high school, And I basically have made my own way since then. And because I had a great place to live, i.e. in a dormitory, and it was a safe place, I was lucky. And when I graduated, I met my husband on a blind date, and I had never met anyone who had an incredible family, who had a strong sense of what family and priorities were all about. And I supposed that at the time, I was shopping for a family. And after a three-hour conversation on the phone and about five dates, I invited him to marry me. And we got married. And from that point on, I recognized the fact that he believed in himself, and he had a tremendous sense of self-esteem, and he helped me to build mine. And so in doing so, I was really able to capitalize on the best of the best and create a life for us as a couple that has just grown incredibly over the past 40 years or so. It's amazing.
Oh, that's such a wonderful story, and I can really identify with it. I know it's not everybody gets married that way, but to see the power that both of you have to pull each other to your best selves is just beautiful. I think we're coming up on a break in a couple of minutes, so we'll come back and talk about a little more about how, with your children involved, you help them feel worthy and important when you're traveling the world and interacting with your husband.
Okay, great.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/voiceamerica or search for us at keyword Voice America.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters. Whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance, Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RandyRolfe.com. Your family will thank you.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet? Why not? Just go to facebook.com/voiceamerica or search for the keywords Voice America. Once you are part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our wall. Just go to facebook.com/voiceamerica or search for Voice America.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
Hi, this is Randy Rolfe, and I have as my guest Sharon Weinstein, a very accomplished nurse and nurse educator and author of numerous books, including B is for Balance, all about balancing work and family and getting satisfaction in life. And we just heard her wonderful story about her marriage and devotion to the father of her children. And now I want to ask, what are some of the ideas of how to make your children feel worthy and important, even when you may be overseas and when you're busy, busy, busy?
That's a really great question. First of all, when they were little, we spent a lot of time with them. We decided early on that we wanted to be important to them and them to be so important to us. So we worked very hard on helping them to build self-esteem, to make them feel important, to recognize the fact that each of the three of them had different qualities and different values that they brought to the family as a whole, and we appreciated and valued that. But I will say that there was a time gosh, maybe about 3 or 4 years ago when our three adult children said they weren't going to speak to me anymore. And they weren't going to speak to me because I wasn't smart enough to put the phone on mute while I was typing and talking to them at the same time, doing my typical multitask type thing. And they found it to be highly disrespectful. And I chuckled at it, but when I thought about it and realized, they were absolutely right. So I've made a decided effort, even over the past few years, and even as I continue to grow personally and professionally, to be sure that when I'm on the phone with them, they are, in fact, the center of my universe and the center of my attention.
Oh, that's very powerful. Yes, and people make a virtue of multitasking, but with family members, and if you want them to know that they're top priority, you better give them some focus. And that's such a practical picture. We've all been there of we don't look up, or we're trying to finish an email or something.
Exactly.
So, very powerful. So what kinds of conversations do you recommend on this topic with your children? Like when they said, hey, Mom, you're not showing us real focus. I like to do dialogues and just make suggestions of what do you say to a child who's kind of angry, feeling neglected, or they might even not say anything, but they're just a little cooler than you want them to be.
Right. I think that you have to apologize. I think you have to rise to the occasion and say, oh, my goodness, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize what I was doing. And you must know, as do I, that you are, in fact, one of the most important people in my life, and that family is certainly at the core of everything. You have to listen carefully to the needs, wants, and desires of your kids as well as your partner. I'll give you a really good example. Our grandson, who just turned 6, provides a great example. He says, I need a family, love, a place to live, and food to eat. I want a new Angry Bird toy, and perhaps my wants are not as important as my needs. Each of us needs to be able to differentiate wants from needs and determine what is, in fact, most important to us and to our family lives and to those who we hold most dear.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's just wonderful. I just saw my 4-year-old grandson yesterday, and he was playing with those Angry Birds. That's such a funny game. They love it.
It is.
But that was such a brilliant summary that he made there.
Yeah, exactly. He said something else that I think was significant. Last year, he was on a cruise with his parents, and on the cruise ship, there was one of those climbing walls. Mm. And everybody wants to do the climbing wall if they're over age 18. So my son was going to do the climbing wall, and he really hesitated to think whether or not he'd be successful. And he slipped into his pocket a small Spider-Man toy, thinking that that would help him get to the top. So he successfully made it to the top, and he climbed back down, and his son said to him, Daddy, Daddy, you made it. And my son said, yes, I know. Isn't that exciting? Do you want to know how I made it? And he wanted to tell him about the Spider-Man toy. And instead, my grandson said, I know how you did it, Daddy. You believed in yourself. How powerful is that?
Oh, my, that's wonderful. Yes. I know you have a wonderful section on laughter and having toys around and keeping things light, and just your son having that Spider-Man toy along with it. But his son knew that it was about belief in himself. What a great story.
Exactly.
That's lovely.
And if we can raise our kids and our grandkids and our future to be like that and to have a good sense of self-esteem and to believe in themselves, how great can that be?
Yes, I think it's everything. That's just fabulous. When you were actively practicing with patients whose problems were often caused by stresses of various kinds, were you ever able to share some of these insights with them? I know you
Absolutely.
Recommend in the book that nurses try to do that.
They do. We all do. And stress is actually responsible for 75%+ of all illnesses and physician office visits. So many of these stressors come from the family unit itself. And I assumed responsibility for empowering patients to deal with those stressors, to minimize exposure, to use techniques for relaxation like meditation and deep breathing and more that would help them to be able to deal with the challenges in their lives.
Oh, that's awesome. Yes, you have some wonderful advice about meditation in your book as well. And just breathing. I know when my mother was in the hospital, I would have to tell her, you know, breathe, because she would get anxious about the next test they were going to start. And you could just see that she was breathing very shallowly.
And taking the ability to inhale, to take a deep breath, to give your body the energy that it needs from that oxygenation is critical. I think that often patients really forget how easy it is to just take a deep breath, to close one's eyes for a minute and think about what's around you, to state affirmations, to understand that you add value to the lives of someone else, to reflect upon how important it is, and perhaps, as we said in the book, the two things that you can do tomorrow to bring humor into your workplace, into your home, into your hospital room, into your life.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And also, you say in the book, when you're feeling burnt out, to actually think about how you have helped others or do help others or have meaning in someone else's life, believing in your own value can get rid of some of that stress that's pushing you to a burnout feeling.
Well, it's true. And, the burnout is on the side of the patient as well as on the side of the professional. Today, there are so many stressors in one's life that people really are more depressed than perhaps they ever were before. And yet there is so much that we can do, so much for which we can assume responsibility that can make our lives much more pleasant than they truly are.
Yes. Do you find that people tend to beat themselves up if they haven't found a balance? It's hard to lead a perfectly balanced life, and always there's going to be different challenges and different kinds of balance. Isn't it important not to beat ourselves up about it?
It certainly is, and it's specifically important to give yourself a break, give yourself a high five, let yourself know that you too add value to the lives of others, affirm the value that you bring to the home situation or to the family situation or to your professional work. Everyone has value.
That's so true. And in your book, you talk about how to, even write out a list of the people that you're helping, not just the ones that help you, but the people that you help. It can make such a difference to appreciate yourself, getting back to that belief in yourself.
Exactly.
And having an attitude where you know you're entitled to feel good about yourself and about your life.
If each of us took a moment, Randy, to just sit with one piece of paper and write down the names of those whose lives we've touched in any capacity over the past 30 days, we would be astounded at how extensive that list might be.
Oh, that's a wonderful idea, because everybody touches many, many lives. I know you love what you do, helping to advance the nursing profession, and you became a recognized authority on a very specialized aspect of nursing, that intravenous nutrition. And I read your original story in your book about you were first asked to do it when you had no training, but there was an emergency in front of you and you took control, and that's very impressive. But some women feel they must give up their passion for their work to be a good mother. How would you counsel a woman who felt that she had to turn away from her passion in the workplace?
Well, I think that if the workplace happens to involve a clinical area and it's nursing, we have so many advantages because of the fact that we can work shifts. We can work two weekends a month, as I often did when my children were quite young, just to be able to have a conversation with an adult person rather than with three kids under four all day long, to know that you're adding value to someone else's life simply by being there. So in the health professions, we certainly have a decided advantage. But for other women, I would say that you need to recognize that the job that you're in or the work that you're doing in many ways adds value to your home life. It enriches you. It enables you to have conversations with adults and with others that give you a better understanding of what life is all about and the challenges that others face, and then to use those lessons learned to then impact your relationship with your own family and the value that you bring to them. I also think that it's critical that when you're at work, you're at work, and when you're at home, you're at home. And we see people all the time, and we see women especially doing it more than ever before, bringing home a briefcase full of work and starting to do that work the moment they get home. The moment they get home, that time should be for their family. And when the family is at rest and the kids have gone to bed and you take 30 minutes to catch up and to plan for the next day, then that's your time to rethink what you've done that day and the work that you have yet to be done. But I think that when you're home and during that dinner time and the opportunity to eat as a family, that's a critical time in terms of paying attention to those who are most important to you.
What great points. Yeah, I totally see how important it is to realize that being a complete person, doing what is your passion out in the world, brings home so much. And my husband and I, you know, we do a lot of different things, but we feel it enriches our home so much to bring different perspectives, different experiences, different stories to the table, to the dining table. But then you need to have that dining table. You need to leave the briefcase in another room. That those are wonderful, wonderful points. Now, another woman might say that she must keep her job that she doesn't like because she needs the economic support for the lifestyle and education she wants for her children. And what might be a way for her to deal with that issue?
Well, even in nursing, I reinvented myself many times, switching from tertiary care to home care to international work. I don't think you need to be stuck in a work environment that you do not like. I think that if you need that job or job to put food on the table, you keep it. But at the same time, you explore entrepreneurial activities and you start small, working with a goal in mind, and eventually your part-time work will become your full-time passion.
And that
sounds
great.
When the timing is right, you can move on and realize that time and money freedom is what we all desire, but few achieve.
We're coming up on another break, so please keep listening to Sharon and her wonderful tips about finding life balance.
Find out which guests are being featured this week. Read our network press releases and read the blog posts from your favorite hosts. Go to iradioblog.com today, powered by the Voice America Talk Radio Network.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters, whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance. Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RandyRolfe.com. Your family will thank you.
If you think you've seen online TV before, let us surprise you.
VoiceAmerica.tv is online now.
The leader in live internet talk radio has done it again. Multiple channels, a state-of-the-art viewing experience, live and on-demand programs streaming 24 hours a day. It's exactly what you want, when you want it.
VoiceAmerica.tv.
From health and wellness to business, sports, and everything in between. Discover our new world. Visit VoiceAmerica.tv now and experience the future of online television.
VoiceAmerica.tv.
Learn more. Live better. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
Hello again, this is Randy Rolfe, and I have my guest is Sharon Weinstein, a nurse and international educator of nurses and a specialist in finding balance in your life. And she has a wonderful book, which is just the latest of many wonderful publications, B is for Balance. And we were just talking about how careers, even in nursing, but in other careers, you want to stay open to the options that might be available, because statistics show that we're reinventing ourselves all the time as our needs in life change, whether it's economic or the stages of our family or what our passions and our what we're drawn to. So reinvention is a buzzword right now, but it's really critical to be aware that that's always a possibility. So in this changing economy where job security's gone, and meanwhile our children are faced with ever more intrusive elements of the outside world through this digital revolution, do you think parents, and especially women who are mothers, are finding some new ways to involve in public life and still keep their families first?
I definitely think so, Randy. Look at the number of women in elected positions, on boards, in control of their own companies. I think that everyone seeks security, and it's not always available in the traditional work setting. So people are now more willing to explore the options available to them, to think outside of the box, to take risk, to develop a home-based business so that they can be there when their kids come home, pay attention to them, give them what they need, but still be actively involved in terms of participating in community activities and in fairs and in events that enable them to grow their own businesses.
Yeah, there seem to be so many more options in your book. You talk about part-time and flex time and shared jobs, and
exactly.
Also the whole possibility of starting your own business. You mentioned some people who started a antique shop, and also home-based businesses. There's so many more people who are finding those opportunities, because with the digital age and internet, we can do almost anything if we have the creativity and the risk-taking attitude to try it out.
And we don't know until we try, do we?
Exactly. Can you share some more examples of creative ways to have more control of your time and your schedule and still be involved in public life and private life?
Yeah, I would go right back to the kinds of things that you drew from the book. Flex time, shared job sharing, opportunities to perhaps work different shifts, different days, to be more flexible in terms of staffing, to take a job that involves your children, to be involved in the school situation or in a camp situation that involves being able to spend more time with them, but still being in control of your time and your schedule so that you can still have a great public and private life. Entrepreneurship certainly does open doors for many of us, enabling us to do that.
And it's so much fun. If you do have a home business, you really can involve your children and they see you working, which is one of the things I've seen as a parent, that often kids have absolutely no understanding of what their parents are doing the other 10 hours of the day.
Well, it's interesting. Yesterday I was in a studio that a couple had started, and they do videos for business and for industry and for professionals for their websites, but they also do parties for kids. And they told me that their 11-year-old son was the impetus behind the creation of this business. He was very tied into technology, very adept at doing all sorts of things, as some of our young people are, and he encouraged them to start this business and help them write the programs for the work that they're doing. So they're creating an opportunity for their children to be involved at a very young age, and also offering a service that attracts young families and young kids.
Oh, that's so neat. That's really a great example. What special advice would you offer for new parents who both have careers and they want to start a family?
I would say share responsibilities. Again, a funny moment. We were in Baltimore once, and my son had picked me up at the airport, and the same grandson was in the car, and we stopped at Starbucks, and I happened to pick up some sort of a light frappuccino of some sort, and I had it in my hand, and he looked at me, and he said, "Grandma, what about sharing? Do you want to share with me?" And so I gave him a taste, and I never saw the drink again. He finished the whole thing and said, "Wow, that was really great." But sharing is also what it's all about. Share responsibilities. There's no such thing as woman's work or men's work. Let your kids grow up watching you shift from standard role models to the sharing model, one in which you empower each other to be the very best that you can be and take time for you. So I believe that if young couples share the responsibilities from the time that they create this partnership, if you will, there's no reason why you cannot continue that same effort once children come along. We need to take time for ourselves. We need to take time for our families. And by assuming the work that is non-traditional, if you will, we can have lots of time to do great things.
That makes so much sense. And get letting go of traditional roles when we're both inside the house and outside the house and modeling for the children at all different times, it makes perfect sense to be flexible and to break out of any traditional expectations or delegation of responsibilities and let the children take on more responsibility. I think one of the biggest problems in suburban environment is that the parents are so eager for their children to have everything that they want, they forget to give the children some responsibility so that they feel valuable and contributing. And they get bored and start making trouble in many cases.
Exactly. It's good for them to be a part of the process as well as the outcome.
Exactly. In your book, you talk about, I love the way you connect the basic satisfaction and happiness to some very concrete lifestyle issues like good nutrition and sleep and having some time to laugh and celebrate and be merry. Can you elaborate a little bit on that, Sharon?
Yeah, I certainly can. I believe that everybody needs to, A, have a decent night's sleep. Sleep is the time when the body is restored, when the memory is restored for the next day, when the cells have a time to rest. And it's rejuvenating. So if you can have a decent night's sleep and it's rejuvenating sleep, you wake up feeling fabulous and ready to start your day. I think that there are some basics that are critical, like hydration. It's amazing to me how many people in America and around the world are dehydrated. Dehydrated because they're drinking caffeinated beverages or carbonated beverages or soft drinks rather than healthy water. Water is what the cells need in order to do their best work. It's best work. So we take it from there and we look at the whole nutrition. When we start to look at the number of processed foods that are available to us and the quick fix and the focus on let's move from one fast food shop to another or from one fast food restaurant to another and get each person in the family something that they want to eat rather than coming up with something and having the family involved in the planning process to determine what it is they like to eat and then perhaps help in the preparation so that it can in fact be a family activity. But there are so many basics that people need. Balance comes from regularly answering a series of questions. And if you're not crystal clear on your goals, you get mixed results. So you need to understand that achieving work-life balance is an incremental process. There are no silver bullet solutions, but there are minor tips and techniques like those that I've suggested in the book that can have a cumulative effect if they're implemented and that truly do work.
That makes so much sense. I know I've found so many people who are eating in a way more and more with our fast food lifestyle that the body gets seriously dehydrated and they think something wet is going to do the job. And it causes many, many problems when you have grandparents who can't pick up their kids because of arthritis. And yet if they got more sleep or were better hydrated or took more time to nourish themselves, they can change that. They can get back into a healthier lifestyle and be the grandparents they want to be. And I think there's so many of us now that are becoming grandparents when we're still working. And this is so critical. And the sleep, especially the children are falling asleep in school, the college kids, they say they fall asleep once a week. A majority of them say they've fallen asleep at least once in class in the last month. So sleep affects us all. And we all know kids can get very cranky if they haven't gotten their sleep. And some of us are going around like that all the time. Wouldn't you agree? It can be truly serious problem.
It contributes to accidents. It contributes to all sorts of issues that affect each and every one of us. So I think that certainly sleep, taking time to breathe good air, to drink good water, to care for oneself, to nourish the body and take care of it, to exercise, to smile, to have fun, to laugh, all of those things are significant in terms of really being emotionally and physically well.
Yes, you really emphasize the importance of recognizing our emotions and knowing we have them and being honest about them with ourselves and others. And getting enough sleep can prevent a parent from just exploding in anger and having to apologize later. It can make all the difference, I think.
Exactly. I even wrote something about a balancing act, about smile therapy. I don't know if you noticed that, but it may seem or feel silly at first, but challenge yourself to smile at everyone you meet for one full day. Don't worry if they don't smile back and just keep smiling. And by the end of the day, you'll be happier because smiling creates energy while frowning takes energy.
Yes, that's so true. I had a client one time who was in a real kind of a negative place, and they said they just didn't feel like smiling. They weren't getting along with their wife. And I said, well, don't start with the hard person. Start with the cashier in the supermarket. Smile at her and see what happens. And start getting good feedback. You realize it's a very powerful tool.
It certainly is.
I wanted to read something from your book. You said emotionally most people will distract themselves from negative feelings, take them out on others or themselves, or shut down their emotional selves. Very few people have the awareness to shift out of negative emotions and beliefs, brighten their perspectives, and make more positive choices by actually releasing the negativity they're experiencing. I loved your focus on it's a choice, and you talk so much about attitude. So can you elaborate on that? How does one make that choice to move into a more positive attitude and see basically the bright side of things?
Well, I think that it's really critical that we understand that we do have choices in life and that we need to be aware of those choices, as well as the fact that your destiny lies in achieving balance. And there are two major ways in which to achieve that balance. So the first one is to balance time. And we talked about time management before, and that's certainly very, very important because we hold destiny in the balance. And, you know, we assume many roles in life, our roles in the family and in workplace and in the community and in our professions. And each one allows us to express a different dimension of our being. But if we look at the fact that attitude is our disposition, our perspective, our viewpoint, or our outlook, and it's how we view the world. So if we perceive the glass as half full, it is. If we perceive it as half empty, it is. And we don't see things as they are. We see things, or we interpret our experiences, labeling them as good or bad. However, our interpretations don't really affect reality. They just affect us and our outlook toward things. So one way to change your life is to change your attitude. And it's simple. Behave the way you want to become.
That's so powerful.
You want to be.
We're up on another break, Sharon, but we'll be right back. So listeners, please keep listening.
Okay, thank you.
Looking for exciting video content live and on demand? Visit www.voiceamerica.tv for exclusive content you just can't find anywhere else. That's voiceamerica.tv. Tune in now.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters, whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance. Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RandyRolfe.com. Your family will thank you.
You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolf@randyrolf.com. Now, back to Family First.
Hello again. This is Randy Rolf with Sharon Weinstein, and we're talking about finding life balance in our busy world today. And Sharon, you in your book, your book title is B is for Balance, and I find that a provocative, since it implies that finding balance can be simple or easy, like your ABCs. And so, what's a key idea at the core of your perception of how to achieve life balance?
Well, first of all, remember that we're all unique, and it's unreasonable to expect everyone to perfectly balance each role in life. So there will certainly be times in our lives where we focus more on one aspect of our lives than another. And the important lesson is not about balancing our lives perfectly, but about balancing them in a manner that best expresses our potential and that gives us the most health and the most joy. And we do this by adhering to the rule of be, do, and have. You have to be self-disciplined to do what is needed to balance your life. And when you do so, you will have balance in all things that are important to you.
That's neat. I know you have an example of, you know, you're not in balance if you want to watch one more movie when you should be cleaning the closet. There are little things that come up all the time. And it's really about what you said, self-expression and finding that joy and health. You have a wonderful chapter about dreaming big and moving towards your dreams. You need to make changes. So how do you do that? How do you choose to change?
Well, change begins with choice. And I think that too is a critical message. Change begins with choice. And any day that we wish, we can discipline ourselves to change at all. Any day that we want to, we can open the book that will open our mind to new knowledge. Any day that we wish, we can start a new activity. We can clean that closet. We can iron those clothes, if in fact people do still iron. We can start the process of life change. We can do it immediately, next week, next month, or next year. Not procrastinating, but taking things one step at a time. We can also do nothing. But then if nothing, you know, was a choice, we really wouldn't be thinking about what we're thinking about and discussing this whole concept of change. I think that people need to define their dreams. You know, you may have a lot of aspirations that you consider to be dreams. It might be a new car, a better job, a nice house, a long-term relationship. Are they dreams? Maybe they're goals, but they might not be the dreams. And there's a quick brainstorming exercise that we talked about in the book that you could cull out the goals or the wants from the dreams, similar to what my grandson had done. You won $1 million. You know, what would you do if you won $1 million? You had to return to college to get a degree. You lost your job. You had a disability that prevented you from walking. You had 6 months to live. So these questions force one to look beyond what you might think to be your dream. You might assume that your dream is to have lots of money, but what do you want to do with that money? And how do you want to spend your time? And with whom do you want to spend your time? So we need to think about spending, really moving forward toward the dreams, you know, really looking at what it is that is important. It's not to say that putting your dreams into action is always easy. We're all going to have hurdles and roadblocks, you know, that we have to pass. But I think that we can rise above that if we do certain things. And what I would suggest is believe in your dream. Make sure that it's something you want and can put your heart into. Visualize it with a vision board, with some sort of a tool that enables you to look at something that's a constant reminder of what it is that's important to you and get energy and excitement from that. Expect a hard way of ahead. It happens to all of us. And take it one step at a time. Success isn't going to happen tomorrow. You know, it took a long time to get into the rut that we're in right now. The same way, and I'm sure you see it when people are trying to lose weight. Well, how long did it take you to gain those 25 pounds? Be patient in terms of losing it, correct?
Yes, exactly. Small steps, and you explain very clearly about that you don't want to have dreams so big that you don't believe in them, but you don't want them so small that they don't excite you. But once you have that dream, you want to break it up into small steps that move you in the right direction.
Exactly.
In your book, you have a wonderful exercise for finding what your real dreams are by looking back at your childhood experiences and what gave you the most enjoyment and happiness, and then making a list of things in your adult life and then comparing the two and gleaning out what really speaks to you now. I thought that was a really neat thing.
And it's interesting that some of the things that gave us joy in childhood give us joy now.
Exactly. Yes, I had a client once who gave up art because her fifth grade teacher told her she would never be an artist, and she was doing computer work. And I said, well, go take an art course. And the art teacher, the art course told her she was quite gifted. And so it changed everything in her life. She no longer was impatient with her children and wasn't so distressed with her husband. It was quite a change because she was pursuing an early passion.
And something that she truly loved.
Exactly.
And she can take it to a whole different medium now. She can become a graphic designer. She can do all kinds of things.
Yes. Somebody once said, you know, if you really follow your passion, there is some way to make a living at it.
Exactly.
I see people doing
that all the time, and I applaud their efforts. They're so exciting.
Yes, absolutely. I wanted to talk a little more about freedom of choice, that we all have free will, and there's no situation where we don't have a choice. And I run into that so often with parenting, that parents want to give a quick answer to a child, and instead of realizing they have a choice whether to be judgmental or to be encouraging, to empower or to criticize. Can you comment on that a little bit?
Sure. I agree that we all have a choice. It's our ability to look at the big picture of how we see things and to notice and to know what's important to us. And so in the book, I address that within the 26 principles of life, all of which are really related. Energy flow, beings of both spirit and flesh, no entity is superior to another, belief creates, using your intuition, knowing that there's a higher purpose, that there are no ordinary moments, that there are so many extraordinary things that happen in our lives, and we need to appreciate those, that there are no limits except for those that we place upon our abilities and our potentials, and we don't accept being labeled by others, as you suggested before, really looking at action rather than reaction, about positivity, about posture and pose and breathing, about the fact that intent is action, and if you intend to do anything, your intent is important, but unless the intent is followed with action, then the intent is nothing. For example, when we set goals and we don't have action steps in support of those goals, our goals probably will not become reality. When we look at freedom of choice, which is in that list, we all have freedom. We all have free will and can choose to do anything that we wish to do, and there is no situation in which we do not have choice. It may seem as if we don't, but there are always options if we have the patience and the strength to take those options. And while it might take a little longer to get there, and it might be the road that is a little bit more difficult to travel, we just have to have the courage of conviction to make the decisions that will enable us to do the right thing.
That is so true. And we're coming up on the end of our show. It goes so fast, but those 26 principles are really awesome. And there are a few more, so do get a hold of the book. And how is the best way for listeners to find your books and find out more about all that you do, Sharon?
Okay. Well, first of all, they could look on my website, which is www.CoreLimited, which really should say unlimited, CoreLimited, CoreLimited.com. They can get a hold of my books by going to Amazon.com. All of them are available there. And those that have been published through the Nursing Honor Society are also available at nursingsociety.org/B is for balance. So in either case, it's possible to get those books. I'm having a lot of fun right now working on a book that is called Homesick Home, and it's not about being homesick.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the effect of our environment on our ability to stay and be well. And so I think that that's an issue perhaps for discussion at some point in the future. There is so much that's happening in that direction and so much more of which we need to be aware.
Oh, we can really look forward to that. And thank you so much for all your insights and all your dedicated thinking and taking action on your intentions. Thank you,
Thank
Sharon.
You so much, Randy, for the opportunity to participate.
Very welcome. Take care now. Have a good holiday.
You too. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
We hope you've enjoyed Family First. Please tune in to our program every Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, to join your host, Randy Rolfe, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. The weekend is here. Enjoy it with your family. And we hope to see you here next week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network.